asking questions. Though he was only a few years older than Shervain, his knowledge of the world was infinitely greater, or so it seemed to the younger boy. Between them, they took the world to pieces and rebuilt it according to their desires. Braildon dreamed of cities whose great avenues and stately towers would shame even the wonders of the past. But Shervain's interests lay more with the people who would dwell in those cities and the way they ordered their lives. They often spoke of the wall, which Braildon knew from the stories of his own people, though he himself had never seen it. Far to the south of every country, as Shervain had learned, it lay like a great barrier athwart the Shadowland. In high summer it could be reached, though only with difficulty, but nowhere was there any way of passing it, and none knew what lay beyond. An entire world, never pausing, even when it reached 100 times the height of a man, it encircled the wintry sea that washed the shores of the Shadow Land. Travelers had stood upon those lonely beaches, scarcely warmed by the last thin rays of Trilorn, and had seen how the dark shadow of the wall marched out to sea, contemptuous of the waves beneath its feet. And on the far shores, other travelers had watched it come striding in across the ocean to sweep past them on its journey round the world. "One of my uncles," said Braildon, "one reached the wall when he was a young man. He did it for a wager, and he rode for 10 days before he came beneath it. I think it frightened him. It was so huge and cold, he could not tell whether it was made of metal or of stone, and when he shouted, there was no echo at all. But his voice died away quickly as if the wall were swallowing the sound. My people believe it's the end of the world, and there is nothing beyond." "If that were true," Shervain replied, with irrefutable logic, "the ocean would have poured over the edge before the wall was built." "Not if Chiron built it when he made the world." Shervain did not agree. "My people believe it's the work of man, perhaps the engineers of the first dynasty, who made so many wonderful things. If they really had ships that could reach the Firelands, and even ships that could fly, they might have possessed enough wisdom to build the wall." Braildon shrugged. "They must have had a very good reason," he said. "We can never know the answer, so why worry about it?" This eminently practical advice, as Shervain had discovered, was all that the ordinary man ever gave him. Only philosophers were interested in unanswerable questions. To most people, the enigma of the wall, like the problem of existence itself, was something that scarcely concerned their minds. And all the philosophers he had met had given him different answers. First, there had been Grail, whom he had questioned on his return from the Shadowland. The old man had looked at him quietly and said, "There is only one thing behind the wall, so I have heard, and that is madness." Then there had been Artex, who was so old that he could scarcely hear Shervain's nervous questioning. He gazed at the boy through eyelids that seemed too tired to open fully, and had replied after a long time, "Chiron built the wall in the 3rd day of the making of the world. What is beyond, we shall discover when we die. For there go the souls of all the dead." Yet Irgon, who lived in the same city, had flatly contradicted this. "Only memory can answer your question, my son, for behind the wall is the land in which we lived before our births." Whom could he believe? The truth was that no one knew. If the knowledge had ever been possessed, it had been lost ages since.